Greetings, Alpha Seekers. We suffered through here at Nugent Ventures World Headquarters, we suffered through a Packer victory over the Rams this afternoon. You know, there's an 800 number for customer service for life. I need to get in touch. I need to call because, you know, things just aren't functioning properly. The Packers are winning, you know. I have some other complaints, so my white privilege card isn't really working, but they told me that, I did call about that, and they said that, you know, your age discrimination cancels your white privilege card when it comes to employment, so I said, okay, I get that, so that would be young privilege, I guess. But so I started a very brief career in the insurance trade, and I made it through like a couple of days of the training, but they spent like 3 days trying to fill out a one-page form with digital online education, and I just couldn't suffer through it anymore. So I quit. But, you know, it's like I get why now the online education thing doesn't work, because you can only imagine. Somebody was telling me, actually, like first graders, you know, the parents are on the line with the kids, because the kids can't work the I mean, they don't know their password or anything, so you can imagine what a wreck this is. And then the teachers feel like they're on the spot with the parents, you know, because the parents are like questioning what they're teaching or whatever. Yeah, so it's a mess. So that surprises me. You know, I thought education would very quickly go digital, and, you know, these kids supposedly are so good at, but I think it is that if you had the kid gamified and the kid could just use an app or something on the phone, then that'd be good. But the, you know, having actual live interactions with teachers and such, that is bad. So I see a return to the classroom. And based on this training thing I went through, I mean, I went through the census training online, and then I did the training myself. And it was hard, but it wasn't that hard, because people were all using their phones, right? So the government actually made the private sector look good, or the private sector in this case made the government look good. But a lot of organizations have had to make this change on the fly, and you know, you've got situations where things don't work on an iOS Apple computer, which a lot of people have. Now, I don't think that's probably the case in education, but we still have this kind of, it's like a red state, blue state between the, you know, PC and Mac world. It's much harder than I anticipated it would be. And also, you know, it's hard to get people's, to keep people's attention when you're doing, like, this was a 4 or 5 day training. Actually, it was supposed to be 2 weeks. And people are wandering away, and people are eating on camera, and I've heard stories of even worse things. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get past this virus sometime mid-year or so, that things start to get back to the meat space, as they call it in the digital world, which means the real world. It's just the digital thing is just not quite working from a, you know, human behavior perspective. So, I got a new feature, I think. At least today, we're going to do it. It's called Book of the Day. So, I'm going through all my books. You know, we're moving. We're trying to. We're trying to relocate world headquarters. And we got a lot of books here. My wife and I are both avid readers, although our eyesight isn't what it used to be, so, you know, harder for us to read books, but a lot of books here. So I went through my books, and I divided them into the keepers and the, you know, it's like football team, got to cut, make some cuts. So I have 3 bookcases out there with 4 shelves apiece, and I got 1/3 of the books that are going. And actually, a lucky listener is going to get one of them. But the rest, you know, if you want to come by and pick through them, you can do that. So this is our free book offer. And you do not have to be a Nugent Ventures investor, but it would, you know, certainly if you are, then you get a free book. But even if you aren't, you get a free book. Because guess what? The value of books in a resale market is essentially zero. So they're going to be donated if the charities will even take them. I got a white elephant here on Clark Street, so that's my first move. But I took a ton of books. I mean, I don't know how many books. And I took it to one of those used book places. They gave me $10 for the like 100 books. I'm like, really? So, anyway, not going to do that again. But today, so it's the book of the day. So I'm going to try to take one of these books that I have and, you know, talk about it a little bit. So the book of the day is The Normans in European History. And this is actually a book I'd like to write, but it was written already. And it's like a 1915, it was like the 1000th year anniversary of, I don't know, somehow they found out a date in Norman history to celebrate, that it was a millennium of Normans. And, you know, now in our woke world, the Normans, and I am a Norman, by the way, so I'm critiquing or complimenting or whatever myself, commenting on my own lineage, we're the ones who caused all the trouble, because, you know, out of the north came the Norsemen, and we sailed down the rivers and oceans and, you know, Iceland, Denmark, France, Russia, because the Rus were Normans, William the Conqueror, Normandy, that's why they call it Normandy, and then the Norman conquest of England and the colonization, then the French and the English colonized most of the world, right? You know, and the Russians, you know? So everything that, you know, people complain about with colonialism and slavery and all that, it's our fault. It really is. You know, at the time, it was, you know, viewed as an achievement. But, you know, world conquest is going out of fashion. So, and I think World War II or I was probably when that happened. You know, and then finally after World War II, you know, Wilson with self-determination and all that, and that gets pretty hairy, but, you know, that's how we got the Western world to that we know today, at least the post-Roman Western world. The post-Greco-Roman Western world was a Norman world by and large. And, of course, the Germans were never part of that, really, because those of you who know classical history may recall that the Romans came a cropper in the Teutoburg Forest, I believe it was. You have to fact check me on the name, but the Romans lost at least a legion or two there and never really went back because those Germans were tough. And remain tough. So they were a separate culture, really, a separate language. And if anything, you know, they came to be the British royal family. Changed their name to Windsor, but before that, I think it was de Gotha or something. So little known fact there. But anyway, this book is called The Normans in European History, and it's I haven't read it yet, really. I've had it for a while, but it talks about all that, and it's by a Professor Haskins, Charles Homer Haskins, and he says that the Norman conquest of England by Duke William was the central fact of the 11th century, and the Norman Empire is also referred to as the Angevin, A-N-G-E-V-I-N Empire, under Henry II, which extended from the Scots border to the Pyrenees. There are two towns that were seats of Norman power, and I don't know how to pronounce this because I have no French. Rouen, R-O-U-E-N, and Caen, C-A-E-N. And then the Normans also had a center of power in Sicily. And they led the Crusades, or one of them at least, and captured Jerusalem. So, you know, that's another Western imperialist thing that, you know, we're wearing the jacket on that. They had a genius for colonizing and building stable societies. And their characteristics were initiative and assimilation. They were never more Norman than in adopting the statesmanlike policy of tolerance and assimilation, which led to their ultimate extinction. I mean, nobody talks about Normans now. You know, they talk about English or French or whatever. Let's see here. So I just went through like the introduction, but I will share with you what I found notable. Iceland, it's another one in America. Thomas Becket was Norman. And here, this guy's an old-fashioned but good writer. Says, there is a gray tone also of gray towns and gray sea matched by an austere and somber element in the Norman character, which, if it does not take its pleasures sadly after the manner of Taine's Englishmen, is prone to take them soberly and by an element of melancholy, a sense of l'éclat des choses mortes. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, which Flaubert called the melancholy of the northern barbarians. So I think that accounts for some of my personality. I'm kind of a melancholy guy, you know. So anyway, that's the book of the day. So I don't know if we're going to keep that feature. Jim Tillman died, longtime Chicago meteorologist. And let's see what else we got going here. So now we pivot to the exciting Nugent Ventures LinkedIn company page. And we discuss what posts have been made. Your host's posts. So the first post, we go in reverse chronological order. I just posted this. Stocks aren't scared of the Democrats' Washington sweep. I mean, there's lots to be scared about in this transition. They arrested some guy today with guns and 500 rounds of ammo and a fake inauguration pass. So, you know, these guys are, they're not giving up. If nothing else, they're persistent. And I was thinking about this, by the way. You know, where you're at politically is probably a function of what you fear more than anything else. So if you fear, like, communism and socialism and the left, then you're probably going to be a conservative Republican. But if you fear, you know, the fascist, you know, type of problems that we've had in history, when, like, you know, Nazis and stuff, then you're probably going to be a Democrat and liberal. So it's a question of who you fear the most. Like, I tend to fear that left, the extreme left, more so than I fear the extreme right. But, I mean, the right is definitely catching up. You know, I mean, these guys are pretty whacked. So, anyway. So now I'm probably moving much more toward the center, you know, in terms of being afraid of both parties, both extremes, certainly, you know. And this guy with horns and the buffalo skin, I don't want to be in the same party as him. I don't know if he's in any party. He's one of those QAnon guys. But, you know, anybody who paints their face, I am not down with. I just don't hang with people who paint their face. I don't care what. I don't care if it's for, like, your college or I don't care, man. If you paint your face, and I do have a Native American background, but, you know, I guess we used to do that. But no, I don't like face painters. You know, that's a bad sign. People who cut initials into their hairdo, too, you know, those are Mohawks. Bad, all bad signs. I don't hang with those people, so I don't want to be in the same party as them. So, I don't know. I'm kind of an independent. I always kind of have been, I guess. So, the market is not yet, at least, afraid of the Democratic sweep in Washington because it brings funny money and stimulus and, you know, public works. And, you know, maybe they'll do this as a vaccine thing better than Warp Speed did. Well, I guess the dissemination distribution wasn't part of that, but, you know, I know that Jim Cramer is of the view that they ought to just federalize the whole thing and have the Army do it, or the, you know, DOD's got like, I don't know how many health professionals, so just, you know, do it at the National Guard armories or whatever. And I think they tried to get a little too tricky with it in terms of, okay, phase one is health professionals, and phase 1B is, you know, Gomers like myself. And for those of you who are not in the business of healthcare, Gomer stands for get out of my emergency room. And it's a somewhat black humor type of a thing in the older sense of the word that is used among medical professionals who have to have that kind of gallows sense of humor to survive. So to get a flavor for that, I recommend Samuel Shem's House of God. Samuel Shem, not his real name. It's a pen name. But if you want to deal with doctors, the first thing you should do is read House of God. So then you'll know how they think. Now you'll know how they feel about you. So anyway. You know, I hope Joe does a great job, and I hope, I wish him the best. I didn't vote for him, but, you know, I didn't vote for Trump either, in case you're wondering. But, I'll tell you who I voted for. I voted for Kanye West. My man Kanye. Who's having a tough year. You know, didn't win. Getting divorced. He's a Chicago guy, so I figured, you know, last Chicago guy ran for president, I didn't vote for him. So I figured this time I'd, you know, go with my hometown guy, my homie. Yeah, didn't win. Actually, I always vote for somebody who's kind of out there because I know it doesn't matter who I vote for in Illinois. I mean, whoever the Democrats nominate is going to win. I'd probably be better off voting in the Democratic primary. And I think that's how national politics are going to break now at the federal level. I said to somebody the other day, you know, hiring a Republican to be president is kind of like hiring an atheist to be pope. You know, Republicans don't really believe in government, so it's kind of hard to run it when you don't really believe in it. I think Republicans are better in the hopefully loyal opposition, you know, to try to, you know, edit and audit and slow down the rush toward, you know, the safety net that, you know, is about an inch below the median income. So it's like, you know, I've read stories about guys who can't feel any pain. There were a couple of twins, and they had something, I don't know how, their nervous system or something. They couldn't feel pain, and they both died in their 30s. Because they could bang their head against the wall or put their hand on an open flame and it wouldn't hurt. Pain is a signal that tells you you're doing something that's going to be very bad for you. You know, like if you stub your toe and it hurts, then you learn not to do that. It's like Pavlovian conditioning. Well, you know, if you can do anything you want and you still end up making a decent average living, which is for not doing anything right, then there's no economic pain signal that tells you you're doing, you need to get it in gear. So That's the trouble with socialism. That's what we call moral hazard. And if everybody does nothing, then nothing gets done, right? Now, granted, technology and world globalization, as long as they keep taking our dollars, you don't really have to do anything, you know? Most of us don't. There's not as much to do. We outsourced all the real work, you know? So, we'll see what happens. But, anyway. Five things you need to know to start your day from Bloomberg. Now, this was 10 hours ago, so we're a little late. They're talking about $2 trillion in stimulus. We know that. 2 million people have died from COVID. And we have 400,000 probably by the end of the month. So it's getting to World War II death totals. But you got to remember that pandemics are always more grim of a reaper than wars even. Well, not necessarily. World War II was a lot. But for us, it wasn't that bad. And, but still, that's a bad number, obviously. Then there have been reports of deaths in, I believe, Norway from the BioNTech vax. Like, 21 deaths among seniors. Now, it's unclear to me, because that did not show up in the trials, but the trials were with younger people. I mean, if you're giving it to people in nursing homes and they're in their 80s, well, they might have been, it might be that they're not doing a, you know, placebo versus, it's not a double-blind trial, in other words, so everybody's getting it, and a lot of those people are on death's door anyway, so maybe the slightest little allergic reaction pushes them over the edge. I don't know. Let's see. Investor reaction to the stimulus has been muted, but not bad. Treasury yields back down to 1.14. Oil's lower. Gold gained. Let's see. Nothing really too remarkable here. I don't see anything particularly remarkable there. But you can read that if you so desire. I put a thing out there about Aurinia, and I'm actually very familiar with their drug voclosporin, I believe is how it's pronounced. It's indicated for lupus nephritis, which is when lupus attacks the liver, I believe. Yeah, so nephrologists, I was actually involved with a focus group of nephrologists at the, whatever, American Nephrology Association, and I really got into that in depth with them, and so when I saw this, you know, that caught my eye, and this is a company that's been working, it's a one-product company, and so it's like, this is the whole farm. That's all they got. So if this doesn't get approved, they're in trouble. And if it doesn't sell after it gets approved, they're still in trouble. But it got fast-track FDA approval, which means it's got a 95% chance of succeeding. The stock is not, I think it was as high as 16, and now it's less than that. Maybe it's at 8 or 9, so it's not a real pricey stock. So we're going to take a hard looky look at that. And not sure if there's options out there. But if there are, the way we might play it is by selling a put spread. Or maybe you don't even need to spread it because, you know, if it's a zero bound, you've got a spread just by being short the put. Because zero can't go below zero. Unlike USO, the oil ETF, which actually did go below zero. It's like, really? But, so stay away from those ETNs. Not an ETF, it's an ETN. Stay away from those. They're very tricky. Not for home gamers. So either that or deep in the money calls. So I actually put that out there on the page. So if you're an adventurous type, and you've been listening to this, you want to try it, you know, no guarantees, but 95% prospect of approval. It's unlikely it's going to go down, I think, after it gets approved. You know, there are some questions about whether they're going to be able to market it because they've never marketed anything. But they made a partnership with a Japanese pharma company to sell it in Europe and Japan. So that's a good sign. People weren't happy with how much they got for that. They got like $50 million up front and $50 million in royalties based on sales. And but they're well capitalized. Kramer, I put a link out there to Kramer's interview with the president, who I guess left the company about 3 years ago. He was interviewed on Mad Money. So there's plenty of material out there for you. And I think we're going to put a trade on it. You know, we could either go long the stock, or we could buy deep in the money calls, or we could sell puts or some combination thereof. So, and it's going to come down supposedly Friday or earlier. So, you know, it'd be a great drug for people who have lupus nephritis, though. It's the same kind of mechanism of action, and the class is the same as something called a CNI, calcium neuron inhibitor or something, which is used in transplants to prevent rejection. But in the past, you haven't been able to use it long term because of the side effect profile. But this is a formulation that has a very acceptable side effect profile. So, good drug, good company. You know, I actually met some of the people who were involved with it. And very solid people. And the drug was being taken very, very seriously by some of the best nephrologists in the country when I was involved with it briefly. Okay, so I put something else out there, which I don't really know that much about, though. BBI has a 3-antigen HBV vaccine, which is hepatitis B. So I don't really know much about that, but I put it out there just FYI. Also put something out there from Bloomberg. The Fed wakes up to race in the fight for equality. So what this tells you is that, you know, if you're worried about the Fed tightening up interest rates, don't. For a long time, because, you know, they're going to manage not only based on overall economic metrics, econometrics, as we say, they're going to manage based on race, you know, racial breakdowns. So if general unemployment is 5 and black unemployment is 7, they're going to work on the 7, okay? So you can look at that as kind of a lowest common denominator management. But, you know, that number always lags. And it, if you look at the history, and there's some charts in that article, it always has lagged. So if you're going to manage on that, then you are going to have easy money for maybe forever, you know? Whether or not it has anything to do with moving that number is another story, but, you know, if that's the way they're going, then that's easy money for the rest of our lives, probably, those of us who are in my, what is it, sextogenarian, which sounds like kind of obscene, but it's really just in your 60s. Sexta, and then I think when you get to be 70, it's septuagenarian. And I just found out, or heard at least, that when you get to be 70, if you want to renew your license, you have to take the driving test. So, you know, if you're like Mr. Magoo like me, then I'm gonna get rid of my car anyway. I don't need a car living down in Lincoln Park. But anyway, who knows? I may have to surrender. I think my dad drove until he was 72, so. And then he died, and after that, you know, you get that one last ride, but that's really it for your transportation needs. So you save a lot of money, you know, after you're dead. You don't need food, you know, don't need a car, don't need a place to live. no rent. You know, you just buy the land. Or then I've got my, earn and burn. My financial advisor told me his family's in the funeral business historically. So this earn and burn thing, I think, is, because nobody goes to wakes or funerals. They don't want to join the nearly dearly departed by getting COVID while they're there. So anyway, it's another idea. We're also thinking about a consignment shop because, you know, now that we're moving, it's like, where are we going to store all these clothes my wife has spent all my money on? Well, I figure we can get a retail store for like nothing, you know, because all these storefronts are vacant. So we'll just start up a consignment store, and that'll be your closet. And if anybody wants to buy this stuff, more power, you know. But it's probably cheaper than getting a storage unit, you know, at these retail places. I mean, they probably pay you to take the space. So watch for that. We may call it Crave with a capital K. Like women crave these fashions. I went to the Real Real today. Which is on Michigan Avenue. And this is also, by the way, the new in thing. Not to buy like a new Louis Vuitton, but to buy a used one because it's going to save the planet somehow. Now, I'm not woke. I do this Ask Mr. Woke Person feature on the show, but I'm not woke enough to figure out how that's going to help, you know. But who knows? That's what they think. So this is a very bullish mentality for resale, consignment. So I go down to the Real Real while we were showing the house. And it's the place looks like a Louis Vuitton. And they got about 100 people working there. And it's just a one level retail space. And, you know, I did not dress for this. I didn't know we were going there. And so I'm dressed in my, you know, my clodhoppers and my dirty jeans and my stained hoodie. Like, nobody would even talk to me. They thought I was like a homeless guy. They could see that I was not there to buy. You know, the wife was there. And they were talking to her like she was their meal ticket. Although she got out of there without buying anything, which is rare. But it was funny. So I left. You know, nobody liked me there. But, they sold in a purse for $31,000. This is like a discount store? Woo! I guess new, it would be $50 for a purse. And I asked them, you know, can I drive that purse? Because, or no, you know what? It was $21,000, but it was, at retail, it would be $35. So it's a deal. And I asked the guy, can I drive it? Because, you know, I could get like four cars for the price of that purse. And he didn't think that was funny. So I can't go in those stores with Anya. Anyway, that's about it for today. I think that's enough. I'm sure you agree. You know, that Norman, that book of the day, I don't know if that's a good idea. But I got all these books, so it's enough material for like a year. So anyway, we'll see if we continue to do that. But in any event, that was the book of this day. And that's it. So live long, prosper. Wear your mask. Wear your face shield. Stay home. Live in a cave. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.